This is so exciting because for those of us who don't know, like when we went through COVID, we, as a church, we kind of pivoted and started doing meeting in our homes. And that's why we have Scattered Church now. We gather and we scatter. We meet in homes. We think it's important to meet in homes. It's another way of doing church. We still see it as an important part of church. And it must have been during that time and just before that. Was it before COVID or after COVID that you guys started your micro church?
Oh, probably only 18 months ago, realistically.
Yeah, yeah. So it was after,
I think it was on the, it was on the thought radar. So I guess for us, it started a while ago, a long time ago, when people said things like, I'm interested in Christianity. And you say, oh, why don't you come to church? And they go, oh, no, thanks. And you go, okay, what's going on here? So we recognised there was a gap to step into church, as we know it here. So we thought, well, how can we fill that gap? So that's where it probably started for us. And we prayed for a heart for the, you know, people that don't know Jesus. So for us, I guess that's where it started.
What was the first name? What was the name going around for your micro church that started? I think there was a name going around.
Gin Club.
Gin Club, yes.
It still is a gin club.
Oh, right, okay.
We do try gin once every, I don't know, probably every 6 months. We actually only have one. It's not around gin, it's around Jesus. But we do, you know, not all of us though. Steve doesn't like gin, so.
I've never tried gin, actually.
Is really?
It? No.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. So you started about 18 months ago. You were trying to reach people that wouldn't normally come to church. And that was always our heart, because I remember a few years ago we really chatted about what would a church look like if we gathered and we scattered. What would it look like if we had, you know, essentially a public meeting but also meetings that met in their homes? And you guys were really the pioneers of doing that, and we're hoping, and even in the future, that, you know, we can be a collective of people that, yeah, we meet on a Sunday and we meet for worship, corporate worship together and teaching. We meet for communion and the word, and then often opportunities people can start communities in their homes. So maybe tell us a little bit about how did you, like you said, okay, I want to start a gin club, a micro church. Maybe you guys can tell me about, like, how did it start? Like, how did you go, okay, we're going to do this? What was the first step, I suppose, of going? Because there are people here that might have a heart for starting a micro church or something in their home or in a park or in a cafe. How did you, you know, there's groups of people out there that maybe won't come to this because, you know, we're a bunch of weirdos. And it's like, how did you kind of start that process?
Again, we prayed for a heart for people who don't know Jesus. That was a big thing. I remember praying for months and months and months for a stronger heart. So I guess that's where it started. And then, I don't know, we just got talking to people. We felt God calling us into the space as well. And we just talked to people. And then when they say they're interested, then we went, okay, well, this is what we're thinking of doing. They went, yep, put me in. So it was just a bit like that.
So
the Holy Spirit works.
There's like your neighbours and other people that you met just on your journey around, yeah.
Yeah.
People that you knew, yeah.
Well, yeah, but no one knew each other, which was interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, neighbours, friends, acupuncture, you know, blah, 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 really.
Yeah.
Just get talking and people go, oh, yeah, you put me in for that. I mean, when we first started, we had 15 people. So, but some moved and stuff like that. And now we have a core group of 8 or 9. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Covered it.
Have I?
How have you found the experience, Steve? Like.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I don't like gin. It's great. It's great. It's a great opportunity to bring people together we've got some new Christians in our group, sort of thing. As Sue said, they come from all different parts of our lives, people we've met across the time. We've got some mature Christians in our group as well, sort of thing. We have Kate and Ed from here come along, which is fantastic. And yeah, we just have the opportunity to, it's a really interactive way, you know, we sort of, we get together on Sunday afternoons every fortnight. We have a drink, we have some chat, some snacks, and just sort of spend the first hour or so talking about life and things that are going on, sort of thing. And then we sit down and we talk about, you know, a concept or an issue or things. And we started with, you know, because of some new Christians, we started with some things that, you know, things that come up for everybody in life. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? We talked about finding peace. We talked about worry. We talked about, and we just were able to bring in, you know, the love that God has for everybody. And we just try to sort of, you know, get that message across and to shine that light.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So for us, it was really important to meet people in their context, like Jesus did. So I guess that's where we started with those concepts. We really wanted to make sure that everybody was able to engage in conversation, add, it's not, you know, big jug, little jug. Like, it's not, like, we come from a humble place. So we're not the, you know it all. We learn from, you know, we learn from each other, really. So we really, the context is really important in how we run it. And now we run sessions mainly around people's questions, and they have so many questions. Like, people out there they're just hungry for someone to take the time to answer their questions, really. This week we're doing, how do I know I hear from God and it's not just me? You know, and other weeks it's, you know, do I just sin all the time? Like, just things like that. And so we answer those in a session, really. Yeah.
But it's not us answering either. It's a conversation. It's everybody brings their opinion and their contribution, sort of thing. So it's really just, you know, eight people sitting around discussing something that's on somebody's mind or heart.
Yeah.
And we just bring the Bible into it in terms of, you know, what advice does it give you in situations like this?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and I suppose that's my encouragement to the church, is like, I want us to be free. Like, I feel like the Bible's really keen on us to go and meet people in their place, in their context. You know, we're always like, come to us, come do this. And it's like, no, we're going to go to you, we're going to invite you into our homes, we're going to invite you around a table and have spiritual conversations, because that's often the seed. Because we start off using this idea of seed churches.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the seed that will grow and ultimately help you connect with the wider church body, because it's a blessing to be part of the believers, you know. But it sort of starts that seed to go, it's a safe place for you to have these conversations.
Yeah, I agree. And also making sure that they feel valued and their voice is heard is really important. Like, and people come up with the most amazing things. So one girl, she'd only been twice, new Christian. We're talking about burdens and Galatians and responsibility and burdens, carry each other's burdens and, you know, each shall carry their own load. And she goes to work. And off she goes, and she says, okay, normally after an event, everybody is off sick, and she goes home and yells at the kids because she's really frustrated. Anyway, she said, I went to work and I went, right, so I've got to share the load. So I go to my boss and tell them that that this is happening. So she does, and her boss goes, well, I don't care. And she said, so I just went back to my desk and thought, well, I'll carry my own load. And I went home happy and I never yelled at the kids. Like, that's just Jesus in reality, in day-to-day, in your everyday walk. And it was just, this is new Christians being able to, you know, put the Bible in practice. It was really great.
Yeah, there's often a gap between how, like, people always say, it's like, I don't know how to apply the Bible to my life.
Yeah.
And so I think it's like this kind of, the practical, you know, the application of some of these ideas that are out there, and people are like, but you invite Jesus into it and it just changes everything.
So it's Holy Spirit led, yeah, it's I Holy would Spirit. Guess. We don't tell people as a rule that they're wrong or right. We just let them go. Like, someone will say something like, yeah, I don't believe in miracles, right? And you go, okay. And then over a time they go, well, I might rethink my idea on miracles. Like, so it's
I had a miracle
like
this week and I have to rethink it.
Yeah, exactly. So, or, you know, the Old Testament's a load of rubbish. It's just full of old stories. And you sort of want to jump in and go, oh, hang on, but you don't. You go, okay. And then over time they're quoting the Old Testament. You know, they've started reading it and they're quoting it. Yeah. It's quite amazing what the Holy Spirit does when you...
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's great, isn't it? Like, it's really nice, yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, we don't have to... It's okay for people to have their, you know, to journey through their questions, right?
Yeah.
And Holy Spirit's good at answering people's questions.
Yeah, I agree. Just yeah. over time, or the only one I probably did say, I think someone said at first, look, I'm a Christian, but I don't buy the whole Jesus thing. And I went, okay, well, just let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah. Did you notice the word Christ is in the word Christian?
Yeah.
Break it down. That's cool. But did you want to encourage anyone? Like, what, did you want to say anything else that just kind of...
I'd like to. look, it is really fun as well to sit around... As Jacqueline will tell you from her parents, we're supposed to go 2 hours. We generally go for 3.5 or 4 because there's so much conversation. Like, everyone's leaning in and people have to put up their hands sometimes for a word in and people go, blah. And this is all around Scripture. And so what Steve and I do is we
kick
often...
Kick him out.
Yeah. Well, no, sometimes Steve will do this at me. Behind the scene... Like last week, if he's got a busy week or something, he'll go, wrap it up. But everyone's, you know, still in conversation. Well, that's a great thing really, isn't it? You can't think. So I would encourage anybody, look, come and talk to us. It's going 18 months now and we're having a great time. Just give it a go, really. Don't you reckon? Do you want to say something?
The other thing that we sort of told the group that we were doing this today, and so a few of them sort of volunteered a comment or two. So I just thought it might actually be worth it.
Yeah, that's good.
Take another minute and
yeah, absolutely. Just the good ones.
Yeah. So look, this is from somebody who is a Christian, has been for a long time, but hadn't been going to church much, sort of thing. So it goes, Gin Club's been very helpful to me personally. I'm someone who's not so keen on the format of church. I just want to get to the meat of an issue. Gin Club offers the personal reflections of the other members in a safe, select environment. Getting to know the others and discussing any personal issues they may have is very rewarding.
That's good.
From one of our new Christians, said... I feel I can really get into what matters with people I trust. I feel much more centred in my faith and more connected with God. I feel I can ask anything in our congregation of equals. Gin Club's made a massive difference to my life and my ability to ride the ups and downs. I could not have gone this journey in the mainstream church. Blessed to have you all in my life.
It's cool.
By any means, put down the mainstream church, by the way. So,
no.
We work alongside.
Yeah.
This is just another way of reaching people. That's all.
Right.
That's all it is. But it can be a very effective way, is all we're trying to say. And from one of the mature Christians in our group, the concepts and questions we bring to Gin and Jesus—that's another name for it—are relevant to our daily lives and have encouraged me to focus and tune into Jesus more. Sharing life together really builds community and encourages it. Encourages each of us to integrate what we learn.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I think it's just so good, and I just want to encourage you guys and thank you for, you know, setting the pace. I think it is a seed still, and I think that we have people that want to have spiritual conversations and don't know where to have them.
Yeah.
And whether it can be in a workplace or whether it's in a home or in a cafe, I think there's a great opportunity for us to, you know, people, as you said, just people in our lives and go, hey, I'm starting something where I just want to have some God conversations, and it's kind of going to be really relaxed and it's going to be interactive and non-judgmental, and you can bring whatever you want. I think there's other people in our church that could do this, and I just want to empower you to go. Please yeah. leave and go and do that.
Because we both work.
And then come back.
Because we both work full-time. Like, I've had a business and Steve works full-time, and we still manage to, you know, we manage to work it through. So it's not that time-consuming. Yeah.
It's like Dot Scatter Church. If you go to Dot Scatter Church, it goes for 5 hours or something. It's like, if you come to mine, it goes for 45 minutes. So, thank you so much, guys. Can I pray for you? And just, let's just pray. Jesus, thank you so much for just the opportunity to reach out to people that you are drawing to yourself. And I thank you for Steve and Sue. I thank you, Lord, for their just boldness to start something, and for them to not just to listen but respond just through this great gathering they're having. And we just pray that it would continue to grow, that the people there would grow and mature, and that you'd bless these guys with great strength and wisdom as they lead and sort of navigate these conversations and introduce people to you, Jesus, because you are the Saviour and the King, and we want people to know you. So we just bless them and what they're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Thank you. Good. So I'm going to write Emily up. She's been in Tassie. You bought some friends, did you, today?
Just a few.
Here you go. Hey, guys. I feel like there's quite a few people I haven't met. So I'm Emily. I have been at this church since I was like one or two. So very long time. And I haven't been here for the past 6 months because I've been in Tasmania, which is super exciting. So I've been doing this program called Peak. And Peak is a program run by this campsite called Camp Clayton. And it's in Ulverston. And it's a year set aside for the Lord. So we've been growing the past 6 months. There's three of us doing this program, me, a girl called Gemma, and a girl called Shanae. And it's been absolutely amazing. So I just wanted to share a little bit of what Camp Clayton does, but also what I've been learning and some stories from this year, because some really cool stuff has been happening. So PEAK is an acronym. It stands for Personally Enriching, Experiential Learning, Adventurously Expectant, and Kingdom Focused. So with the experiential learning part, I've been rotating through different departments in the campsite to learn how a campsite works as a whole. So I started off in activities and maintenance. I was running heaps of recreation activities for all the camps we've got and all the school groups coming through, which was really amazing. I also did a lot of weeding, a lot of gardening. I learned how to fix toilets, which is pretty cool. so that was pretty awesome. And then I went to the ministry office. So Camp Clayton runs 14 ministry camps a year and reaches so many young people across the state of Tassie, which is absolutely amazing. And ministry in the ministry office, it's planning and doing all the behind the scenes and child safety for those camps. So that was really cool to just be able to see kind of like what everyone else doesn't see, how people serve in a way that just the public doesn't see. It was really amazing. When I get back, I'll be in reception, so that will be really exciting. I'm keen to grow there. Adventurously expectant, we've been doing heaps of adventures throughout the year, which is really amazing. We don't really know what each day holds, so you just rock up to work and you've got to be prepped for anything, whether it's demolishing fences or painting, or we'll go on out trips and go exploring, or go serve and speak at schools, speak at churches. It's really exciting. And we also do 4 out trips throughout the year. So we've done 2 of them. We've been to some really cool national parks, which has been amazing. We've got a solo out trip coming up, so I'll be going hiking off in the Alpine by myself for 3 days. Really excited for that. And we've got a spiritual retreat coming up. So those are some of our more adventurous components. And the last bit was kingdom focused. So our campsite's got about 15 staff, and there's a whole heap of volunteers, which is really what builds Camp Clayton and helps it to keep running. But all of our staff are Christian, which is really a really amazing place of fellowship. We all sit down at morning tea together every single day, and we read the word and we pray for each other and our communities, and it's just an absolute blessing. And we also have accountability partners and mentors, and just, yeah, it's really building each of us up spiritually, which is really amazing. Just a little bit about Camp Clayton. It's been around for 77 years, and it reaches such a wide range of young people that all just really need to experience God's love. We've got a family care organisation that also shares our site, and they're called Glen Haven, and they send children to us. So that's children from really broken families, or perhaps ones that aren't even living with their family at all, and they come and come to our camps and experience the love of God. We've got kids from the West Coast that don't even have a church or a youth group near them, and they come to camp. And we've got plenty of kids that have been to church and youth group their whole life as well. So it just reaches such a wide range of different youth, and it's just really, really impactful. So some of the things I've been learning this year. One verse that God has just reminded me of again and again and again is Psalm 139, verse 5. It says, "You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head." And there's so many circumstances that he's reminded me that. It's been like my anthem song throughout the whole year. So every time I'm speaking in front of a group, which I don't like to do, but I just keep saying yes to, because the Lord's like, you need to learn to share what I've put on your heart to share. So whenever I'm having to give a meal briefing and I'm just like, oh, there's so many people here, I don't like this, he's like, I'm going before you, it's okay. Every time I'm running an activity alone and I'm scared I'm going to forget things or, mess up, like, he's going before me. Every time we're in a hike and something goes a bit wrong, it's a bit of a dangerous situation. He's reminding me, he's going before me, he's got my back, he's going after me, and he's got his hand of blessing on my head. One of the other things he's been teaching me is about impact. So one of my co-workers asked me once, when you leave a work day, when do you feel like you're winning? Like, some days you feel like you've won, and what makes it feel like you've won? And I sat there and I was like, that's such a good question. And I told him, I feel like I've won when I've made an impact on someone. But the Lord has been showing me that my perspective of what an impact is, I'm looking at direct impact on people, not the indirect impact I've had on people. So I'm a very big people person, even though I don't really like speaking in front of people. I like having my one-on-one conversations and just meeting new people. And the Lord's showing me that I thrive in those places where I'm connecting with people, and that's the direct impact. So every time I've been able to serve a meal and have a chat to someone while I'm walking them through, asking them what they want, every time I'm encouraging a kid to go down the Flying Fox or on the Giant Swing or something, I get to have that direct impact, and I leave that day feeling like I've won. But he was challenging me throughout the year of all the different spaces that I can have an indirect impact on people. So that's like vacuuming and washing windows and weeding, which I do a lot of. He's just been showing me throughout the year how in those spaces, it's uncrossing arms. When people come into a welcoming space that's clean, that's inviting, that's looking really nice, they've got uncrossed arms, and it's more likely that they're going to be open to have conversations about Jesus. So that's been a really big thing this year. And also, the more you've got those times where you're just like, you're doing a tedious task and you're like, I'm not too sure like what the purpose behind this is. He's been showing me that that's time to pray and intercede, which is one of the really cool stories I have was I was hosting a meal and I'd set up like 20 minutes too early. So I was waiting around and I was like, Lord, I've got 20 minutes, like, what would you like me to do? And he told me to go and pray over all the tables that the people would be sitting on. And so I was like, okay, Lord, and I'm walking around the room, I'm praying on the tables. And this is for a group, a non-Christian school that was coming in. And they came, and as I was praying, I was looking at the mural we have around the room. And in our dining hall, we've got, above the windows, we've got this mural that wraps around the whole room, and it's of all these different beautiful depictions of God's creation. And hidden in the mural are the words, "All creation declares the glory of God." And I just felt this burden that I needed to pray that they would look at the mural and that they would see those words. And they're pretty hidden, so I was like, oh, okay, I'll just pray for that. And I'd completely forgotten about it, and I'd served the meal. And afterwards, I was washing up, and I poked my head out the door, and I see the teachers just stand there, and they're looking at the whale, and they're like, "Is there a word in that one?" And I was like, "What? Okay." And I just went over and asked them. I was like, "What are you guys doing?" And they're like, "We've been reading the words around the room. They're so cool, and we're just trying to find more." And I was like, that prayer answered right there. So that was really special. Just big reminder that, like, God listens to our prayers. Yeah, no matter how big or small or silly they seem, if you've got a burden to pray for something, like, there's obviously impact behind that. We've had a whole bunch of ministry camps, which has been really cool. And one of the most amazing ones that I got to be a part of was Junior Mixed 5-6. So grade 5-6 kids, they came in. I'm still very new to camps at Camp Clayton, so I didn't really quite know what to expect. But the Lord was really moving. We had like 80 children, and we were around the campfire one night, and we'd been telling them about Jesus the whole week, and this was the last night of camp. And the girl that was study leading decided to, put it out there for any kids that would like to give their lives to Jesus. And these kids throughout the studies had been kind of, you know, not really listening, ADHD kids, kind of like keep chatting and try and bring them back. I didn't really know what to expect, but when I saw 40 hands go up in the air and everyone in the little circle just started bawling, I was like, wow, like Holy Spirit is really working. And that was just an amazing reminder to not put God in a box. Like, I was thinking, like, these kids, like, so many of them wouldn't even understand these studies, let alone listen to them. And at the end of the week, they were like, yes, I don't know how many of them, what extent they had heard or knew, but, like, something had changed and they wanted to give their lives to Jesus. So we had 40 salvations that night, which was absolutely amazing. And I think it was the night before that, one of my friends told this story in our leaders' meeting that morning. In his cabin, he had just told kind of how he met Jesus. And he had a cabin of 8 boys, and there were 2 leaders, and he'd just told the story of how he'd met the Lord. And then it was time for the kids to go to bed, and they all settled down. And he heard a call out from one of the boys across the other side of the room. He called out his name, so he wandered over, and the little boy, he, like, in year 5, he goes, "I haven't met Jesus yet, and I would really like to." It's like, whoa, what childlike faith. And so my friend prayed for him, and he said, "I've got a burden on my heart. Like, I feel this weight, I feel this heaviness and this anxiety." And so my friend prayed, and it all lifted. And the kid's lying there in the dark while all the kids are trying to go to sleep and goes, "I just want to dance around for joy. I've just met Jesus." And it was like, oh, he shared that. And it was just like, wow. And then the other 7 campers met Jesus the next night. So, like, man, God is just moving. It's really amazing. I had one girl on this camp. She came down the Flying Fox with me. She was standing up there and on our platform ready to go down. And the Lord had told me to bring my Bible to this session. So I was standing up there kind of on our tree platform with my Bible hanging like on a branch. And she was really scared, and she was like, I don't want to go down. One of the leaders had been telling me that every time he'd send a kid down the Flying Fox, he'd send a Bible verse down with them to tell the leader on the other end that was unclipping them. And the kids were like learning scripture while going down the Flying Fox. It was amazing. And so I was like, oh, I should do this. And this girl, she came from a really hard family, and I didn't didn't know where she was at with what she believed in God. But yeah, I said to her, I was like, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can go down this, like you've got this. The Lord is going with you. And she goes, hang on a second. Yeah, it is. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And she just sent it. And then she's going around encouraging all of the other kids that are like crying and too scared to go down the flying fox. And I saw so many kids that like wouldn't have stepped on there, went down because she was sharing scripture with them. I was like, wow. And then I got to pray for her. The Lord pointed her out. I didn't know who she was, but there was a head in a lap crying when all the kids had put their hands up to say yes to Jesus. And I just, this girl was highlighted and I went over to pray for her. And it was the same girl. And she started praying over me and I was like, okay, like, let's go. So stuff is really, really happening. But yeah, I just thought I'd share a little bit about what the Lord's doing. And I'm keen for the next 4 months and whatever the Lord wants. I know he's going before me and he's following me and he's got his hand of blessing on my head. So I hope that was an encouragement. And I really appreciate all your prayers and prayers for the campsite because God is doing big stuff. Yeah.
I remember when I first, God called me into ministry, I said, I'm happy to go into ministry. I never want to have to preach though.
Yeah.
It was like, and it sounds stupid now, but it was the fear.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage you and go, like, you've got this. Like, you can speak. God's given you a voice and you will preach and you will share and God will use you in that space. And it's the only enemy wants to rob us of that sort of stuff. You know, he just... Yeah, and that was my journey. And so thank you, because today was great. It was a great encouragement for us. I mean, we've been sent out to go and encourage, and God goes before us wherever we find ourselves. And I love this idea that God does, we can't put him in a box. He will do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine and constantly surprise us with the way he uses us. And we see, you know, him impact people in ways, and I love that idea of indirect impact. It's like the things we do every day maybe prepare someone to connecting with God, and we don't always think about the simple and the small things, and it's amazing how those small things prepare a way for people to embrace. You know, I love that picture of that girl just going down full of joy, you know, breaking through. And it's just such an encouragement to us. Let me pray for you. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for Emily. Thank you, Lord, that you've called her by name. The calling that you have on her is irrevocable, your word says. And so therefore you have called her to be a mouthpiece for you. You've called her to be a great encouragement. You've called her to joy. You've called her to bless the people. You've called her to serve. There's so many things, and I just continue, Lord, to fan into flame the gifts you've given her. And I pray that they would multiply and that you would, as she's watching all these kids get impacted and people around to get impacted, I pray that that would be her testimony as well, where she would do things that she never thought that she would do. We all make vows, Lord, of things that we think we can't do, and I pray that you continue to blow Emily away with what you do in and through her. Thank you that she will speak your word to kids, to adults, and that she will be a great blessing to many people. And she's blessed us today. I pray, Lord, the seeds that are sown in our hearts, Lord, would multiply. We ask as we leave here today, Lord, that we would go. You call us in the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So we pray we'd be goers today, that we'd be goers, and that we would impact and influence not only our own lives, our family, but also the lives of the people around us. Teach us how to do that. Thank you. And I pray, Lord, we would be just a tsunami of blessing to the people around us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Em. It was awesome. So good.